Welcome to the LifeCast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
We're going to look at some scriptures. We're going to look at a scripture in Zechariah chapter 8. We're going to look in one of the Gospels. We're going to look in the book of Romans. So we're going to touch on a few different scriptures. I'm glad that you're reaching for your Bible and you're starting to turn to these, and that's okay. We'll get to them in a minute. I want to talk to you about something. And if you are a newer believer, you know, this whole walk of faith and being a Christian is newer to you. I want you to know that's okay. I want you to walk away with something. I'm going to be a little bit, just kind of lenient in this respect. And it's not a spirituality thing. It's just kind of a, doesn't mean you're necessarily mature and all of that. It's just, I'd like to know if you have been a Christian for just 5 years or more, roughly. Just, can you kind of put your hand up, whether you're visiting or not, just 5 years or more. Hold your hand higher. Would you do that if you can? Okay. That is a lot of you. And that's great. So I want us all to listen, but especially those of us who raised our hands. Long time, and we'll just say 5 years or more, church people or Christians. I'm not going to ask you to say this out loud. This is rhetorical because this is a private thing. How many people are in this church, okay, if you've been coming here for a while, how many people are in this church, and we know that it takes the work of the Holy Spirit for any of us to get saved, but how many people are in this church because of your testimony? And how many people have maybe even come to visit this church because of your testimony? Because of relationship you have with them or an invite that you've made? Or maybe they haven't come to this church, but how many people out there have come into the kingdom of God because of your testimony? Because we all know that we're called to be the living church. We're supposed to be heralders, carriers, ambassadors of the gospel. Or the good news. Now, this is not a condemning thing in the sense that, oh boy, you know, the numbers are really small and ouch, and I thought I was supposed to come out of church and feel better. I never feel really great after being disciplined. But I feel really great when the disciplines begin to play out in my life. And, you know, part of the gospel is being called to account. Jesus did that. He showed grace. He showed mercy. But part of his grace and mercy is also telling us the truth, right? I mean, it's not like grace and truth are enemies. They work together. And Jesus, it says, was filled with grace and truth. So when I share this morning, it's not just pointing a finger at you. I'm included. So I speak to you this morning. This has not come from some piety or some comparison between you and someone else or you and me. That's not what this is about. This is about coming to grips with a real honest and sincere question. How many people are in the kingdom, or how many people have come to this church? And we know that the kingdom is larger than this church, but this is where you attend. And not that people have to come here. They can go other places. I understand that. But I want to talk within the context of who we are this morning. How many people have come into the kingdom or come to your home church because of your testimony? Sometimes we get, and I'm going to give you just a short little list here, but there's more than this. What hinders us sometimes in winning people or giving people an invite or whatever context you want to put it, is we just kind of sometimes get wrapped up in our own lives. And I believe, because I know most of you, I know that you have right intentions and good intentions. I know that. It's like me. I've been meaning to fix the dowel in my daughter's bedroom closet because it came down. Maybe they should have less clothes. Just a thought. I can say that because none of them are here. And I know they don't listen to my sermons on the podcast, so I'm free and clear unless you open your mouth. I've been meaning to. It's a good intention. I think of it sometimes at inconvenient moments or when I'm already in bed and my mind is racing through all kinds of things and that comes in. We get wrapped up in our own lives and we have good intention. But all of a sudden the days turns into weeks. You know, it's the weeks into months, the months into years, and we never do it. We get wrapped up on our own trials, our own hard times, or we just kind of get wrapped up in our own safety and security and salvation and figure, hey, for some of us, we don't really have relationship with anybody outside the church. You're content with your circle of friends in the church or other Christian people who maybe are part of another church, and you're just, that's good enough. Maybe it's because we don't really talk about God with people, or we don't talk about church with people. Whatever your inhibition is, you know, about that. And I know that for some, building relationship with somebody is, you know, kind of key before you share the gospel with them. Except for maybe moments where you just happen to bump into somebody who just, you know they need to hear the gospel, or they're in a hard time, or the Holy Spirit prompts you. But you just, you know, maybe have an inhibition about it, about talking about God or talking about church or what happened at church or what church you go to or what ministry and what cool, neat, godly, wonderful thing happened somewhere in some church meeting. Maybe it's not on Sunday. Maybe it's not on Wednesday night. Maybe it's in one of the small groups or Celebrate Recovery or somewhere else in another, or what happened to your son or daughter in youth or in children's church. And it just, you know, you may talk with it about to other Christians, but no one outside the church. Maybe we just don't believe that the gospel is really good news. I mean, we call it the good news. And when other good things happen in our life, we tell people. Your kids accomplish something, you tell people. It's a good thing. We do all this other good news stuff. What about giving people good news that is about eternity? What about talking God up because he's awesome? What about talking up other believers? Yeah, they're human and they make mistakes, but their faith is real. What about talking up church? No, this church, this isn't perfect. We got a long way to go. I got a long way to go. But what about talking up what God does? What about talking up and saying, you know what? Man, I went to church on Sunday. It was lively. It was like God was there. I don't know, maybe you didn't feel that this morning. If you didn't, check your pulse. Maybe we come up with excuses. I'm not going to invite because they won't come. Listen, you and I need to stop answering for people and let them answer for themselves. If they don't want to come, then let them say no. You're only responsible to do the asking. You're not responsible to give the answer. You're only responsible to ask to pray with somebody. You're not responsible whether they say yes or no. You know, we can go on down the line. We can use all kinds of excuses. I know the excuse I'm going to use in my daughter's closet doll is today's Sunday. Why don't you look at Zechariah chapter 8, verse 23. It's near the back of the Old Testament if you're wondering where to find Zechariah. I normally start reading by now, but because it's a book you may not know where it's at, you may be taking a little longer to find it. Zechariah chapter 8. By the way, if you don't have a Bible, there's one probably in the pew rack in front of you. If you're visiting this morning and you don't own a Bible, I want you to know that you can take that Bible with you. That's yours. That's a gift to you. Not from us, not from this church. That's a gift. This is a gift of God to us. So you just go ahead and take it this morning if you don't have one. You find a Bible in the pew rack, you take it with you. That's yours. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 23, it says this. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Now, who says this? The Lord. In those days, 10 men from all languages and nations will take firm hold of one Jew by the hem of his robe and say, "Let us go with you because we have heard that God is with you." What a great phrase. I mean, we know that this is the prophet and God is speaking through the prophet to God's people at that time and what God was going to do in restoring his people and the city of God and the temple of God and restore the priests and all these things that God was doing that Zechariah was telling. Now, we all know that all scripture is God-breathed for us to correct us, instruct us, rebuke us, reprove us, all those things to encourage us. And so we can take scriptures, not out of context, but what is God saying? And if that's what he's like, I get to apply it now with the liberty, I get to apply it to my life. How great would it be that people heard God is with you or at this church and they know you come here and all of a sudden they just take hold of you and say, "Hey, I heard God is at that church you go to. Take me with you." Sorry, Bob. Right. Feels good. Well, I mean, what about that? I heard God is with you. Gina, I haven't seen you for a few years. Dude, have you changed? What's going on? God, where do you go to church? Take me with you. Because I'm still stuck back there. How about that? What if we dare to believe that that could happen? What if we lived like that and had that kind of testimony? That God is, I've heard God is with you. Heard God's at your church. The interesting thing is that word heard. How do people hear? Facebook. How do people hear? Because these people speak, they tell, they write, they communicate. It is not enough to walk out of here this morning, slowly across the icy parking lot, to your car, get in your vehicle, slowly proceed from the premises. And lean over to your spouse and say, boy, church was good this morning, wasn't it? Yeah, I really felt the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, where do you want to go eat? And it's over. And you told. That is not enough. People didn't hear that. Unless you go home and say, lunch is going to be late. I've got to get on Facebook. And on the way home from church, my husband said to me, blah, 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 blah. And then you could, you know, everybody's checking your wall, your status. But what about people hearing? You see, that's not good enough. I don't want to point people out. Because I didn't ask permission, and so I don't like to do it in the context of a message, but I'm going to do it this morning. I'm going to run the risk. I got to tell you something. There's other people like this, and please don't try to do this to get my attention. That's not the point of this. This person doesn't do this because they hope that I mention this. This is who they have been since they've started coming to this church. And they were probably like that before this. But, you know, it is like every third conversation that I have with this woman that she basically tells me about how excited she is to be at this church and that she has told other people who don't come to this church what God is doing. Trudy Lester, you bless me. Ross, this is your wife I'm talking about. She tells her friends, she tells strangers, she's, you know, every third conversation that I have with this woman is she's telling me about somebody she told about how exciting that and what God has done and so glad to be here, and she's telling other people. And listen, please don't take this out of context. This is not about promoting New Life Assembly of God, though this is where you go to church. It's promoting God and that God is real and God still does stuff and God still shows up. Amen. That's what this is about. Listen, I didn't ask permission for this either. So Dennis, I'm just going to say forgive me now. I had a conversation with Dennis. He started telling me, he said, you know, I've had relationship with this guy, and I'm not going to tell you who it is. He's a local person. Just not local. Local person. Local. Lives here. Had relationship for a while, and they were in conversation, and the topic of church came up, and you know what? Dennis went and said to this guy, went back to this guy, if I remember this right, and said, you know, I need to apologize to you. We're like, what? What? What'd you do? He said, you know, we're talking about church, and I've known you for a while, and, you know, I just haven't invited you. So whenever you want to come over to New Life, go to church with me, I'd be glad to. How cool is that? You know what's really cool about that? Is he may have felt like, oh, gee, why haven't I invited that guy? Or I forgot to. He had to go. He went back. And says, you know, I'm sorry. You mentioned you've driven by this church. You thought about coming. You know, I need to. I want to invite you. I'm sorry I've never invited you. That is the cool thing. Instead of walking away going, oh, gee, I'm no good. I didn't invite him. All the stuff that we do and beat ourselves. He just said, hey, I can go make this right. Thanks for forgiving me. You too. Thank you. I mean, I could tell you more stories. There's other people in this church. I just kind of plucked you two out because I'm trusting you'll forgive me. If not, God won't forgive you. Just a little reminder. I'm just going by the scripture, you know. I mean, hey, forgive others. You want God to forgive? Okay. How many people have really come to this church? And I'm trying to be leaning here, you know, with the 5-year thing, being a Christian or whatever. But, you know, a lot of you have lived in Sparta area for a long time. Some of you for almost your whole life. And this is not a guilt thing, but let us grasp this truth. I mean, your spirit of invitation and your life and your testimony. I mean, I'm trying not to, really beat you and I, but we need to feel the prick of the Spirit here, and we need to come to grips with some things. It's not that we haven't been effective or any of that, but listen, after your life here and your Christianity for so long and living in this area, this is it. I don't want it to be harsh. That's not the spirit that I want it to come across, but you know, once in a while, we got to take inventory. And it's not just about the numbers. It's about the fruitfulness and the effectiveness, and what do I need to do different? Because if I just keep doing the same thing, I'm going to get the same results. I want to say something to people in this room, and you know, some of us in this room, we want to, you know, be successful, and we want to be maybe noticed in the community, or we want to, you know, I don't know, some maybe just want to be popular. Whether your motives are pure or impure, or somewhere in between, or a little blended or confused, that's between you and God. But if God has shown some kind of favor, where you have had success, or you have some measure of platform in the local arena, just because of maybe business or some famous thing you did or whatever. Okay? Or you've just been here a long time and grew up with most of these people and kind of people know you. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. That's wonderful. That's great. I'm glad that God has increased your platform. But understand this, that with the increase of that platform and your measure of influence, there's a kingdom responsibility that has gone with it. We think it was just business, or we think it was just, you know, this event, or, oh, I just grew up in this area, or, whatever the list is. Listen, with all of that has come a kingdom responsibility. It's not separate. It's not compartmentalized. It is you. The kingdom responsibility that has gone with the favor, the success, the local fame or regional stuff or whatever it is. And I have to come to the question, is it possible in me, in my life, your life, that maybe those we have relationship with or those who know us or whatever, that maybe there's just something not in us that they see all that desirable? Now, I know not everybody's going to like us, like me, like you. So, and they've got different reasons why. Some of it is, you know, maybe they're just jealous, or maybe they're just, you know, don't like Protestants, or maybe they just, you remind them of somebody else that hurt them somewhere. You know, I understand all that. I leave room for all that big long list. But those aren't things that I have control over. Things I do have control over is how I treat them. How I do business with them. My attitude when they're around me. How I live. How I talk to my kids. In aisle number 3 at Walmart. When they climbed out of the cart and they're dropping stuff off the shelf. My kids don't do that anymore. But I remember those days. You put that back. You don't want to yell. You don't know who's going to come around the corner. Because just as you grab them, you know that, you know, oh, that's the pastor over at the. Then the moment you think you get away with it, and you're carrying them with one hand and groceries with the other, and you're putting them back in the one cart because the other cart's full of groceries. You got 2 kids in this cart, and you're trying to. Hey, I remember. I know what it is to push one cart and pull another. And they both have a bad wheel. You know what I'm talking about. When you got to the door and checked it out, good stuff. Then what, you know, right? You got to learn how to load the cart, because when the heavy in the back, it don't go so great. Too heavy in the front, don't go so, you got to figure that stuff out. I mean, to just use 2 carts, you got to be an engineer. You got to know how to do this stuff. And I know what it is to hit that tiny little stone under the wheel. You ever do that? And then it's not, you're skidding all the, yeah. And your kid's crying, and yeah. And then you grab them with one hand, you start chucking down the aisle, and you, good, nobody's seen me. And then you set them in there, and you look up, and you know that there's a camera under the back dome. How do they discipline the kids? How do they yell at them? How do they, hey, it's a constant thing. What have they seen in us that they say, you know what? Not sure I really want that. Do they just see us looking out for us? They always see us trying to skimp or just stay on just this side of what we call cheat. Is it possible that some of that has gone on? And that's why this is some of the measure of our fruitfulness. If you call yourself a person that this is your home church, you are not exempt this morning. I'm not exempt from this. How many people are in this church today because of your testimony? Why is it this way? It's not that God hasn't blessed or this church hasn't grown, or and it's not just about numbers, but part of our responsibility is what we call the evangel, the good news. Sharing the good news. The people can hear. People can see. I know that not everybody says yes. But you know what? You know, being big fish in a small pond, and by the way, I want to remind you of this, if you think Sparta's the whole world, this is a really small pond. And you can feel like a really big fish in it. And if God's given you that kind of influence, that's great. Let me tell you the great thing about a small pond. Is it's easier, in some respects, to have greater influence. I mean, the counterpart is true, too. You know, that bad news spreads quickly. If you're in a huge area, your mistake and your oops is just simply drowned out by sheer mass. Just like when something great happens, that, you know, it has minimal ripple effect. But in a small pond, it can have a great effect. Great effect. How many people are in the kingdom? How many people are here at this church this morning because of your life, your testimony, your way of living in public? Let me throw this question out to you. How many people are in this room because of how you live privately? Because they have been a close friend or a family member and they watched you. Now, we can't control their choices. I understand that. We know that it takes a move of the Holy Spirit to draw any of us to Christ. But what part have we contributed? What part have we been able that God could anoint or use for his good, for their benefit? Romans chapter 10. I want to read this to you. Verse 14. Well, let's read the later part of verse 13, because it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? That makes sense. And how can they believe in one whom they have not heard about? And how can they hear without someone preaching or telling them? How can they teach or speak unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Listen, I understand not everybody's thrilled to hear the good news of the gospel. We understand that the gospel is offensive. And they try to maximize its offense in this day and political world and the philosophy of tolerance and don't offend. And how beautiful are the feet of them who bring good news. Good news. That you can be forgiven. That you can find hope. That you got someone you can count on that has strength that goes beyond our limitations, your limits. Someone who cares about you and loves you, and they know about you and your past. And he still loves you. Where can you find that? We have kingdom responsibility, regardless of the measure of our platform. Whether a lot of people know us or just a few know us, or whether we have title or notoriety in the county or in the city or the area or the state. With it, all of that stuff that we call secular or work or whatever, we have a kingdom responsibility. God has given that to us, and along with it, it has a kingdom responsibility. And if we have been a Christian, I'm just throwing out the five-year thing. Can't find a scripture on it. I'm just trying to be somewhat lenient here. You know, 5 years or being a Christian longer. You've been a part of this church for a long time. How many people have we really invited? How many people have we, you know, brought? How many people, you know, is there something that we just don't talk to them, or they have watched us and they go, yeah. I wouldn't go to that church. It doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem right that God gets judged on our acts. But it's the measure that some people use. They used it in the Old Testament. I heard God was with you. Bring me. I want to read to you from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 43. It says, the next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Now listen to Nathanael's response. Because sometimes we anticipate a negative response to people. Kind of like, I'm going to take the big step today. You want to go to church with me? Church? And what a waste of time. I've been to church. It's a bunch of old people. It's 45 minutes of just stand up, sit down, say this, do that, and I go, and nothing meant anything to me. First of all, you can share with them that, oh, the church I go to doesn't last 45 minutes. Listen, this is what Nathanael asked. Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Go to church? I mean, come on. Can anything good happen? I mean, you might be anticipating this whole negative response. Listen, their response is not your responsibility. Your responsibility and mine is to just do the Philip thing. Hey, listen, the one that Moses wrote about in the law, who the prophets wrote about, Jesus. So Nathanael says, anything good come from there? His list, just like maybe people we know or things we used to say before we came. I like Philip's response. Doesn't argue with him. Doesn't try to prove a bunch of stuff theologically. Doesn't call Nathanael, oh, you're just a lost sinner. Ah, oh, you're reprobate. Ah, oh, you'll never... Philip didn't walk away and go, oh, boy, I didn't do very good. All he says is this to Nathanael, come and see. Come and see. Not going to argue. Not going to try to prove to you that something good can come from Nazareth. Not going to try taking you through the scriptures and cramming them down you so you know, feel guilty and feel like you have to come. Philip just says, hey, come and see. You tell somebody, oh, why don't you come to church? Or, you know what, God's forgive me. I just, you know, Jesus is, you know, my Lord. You know, whatever things you say. And they go, yeah, right, whatever. All you, hey, come and check it out. Oh, church, God showed up. There's a presence there and people are excited. And they're like, really? Yeah. Why don't you come on and check it out some Sunday? Take you to lunch after. I'll buy you a cup of coffee at 9 o'clock in the fellowship hall. That way you can sound real generous. Because we know that the coffee's free. He just says, come and see. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Just a little note here. Understand that God sees that person before they ever come to him or come here. He already knows about them. You think this is all up to you and I? Ha! It's God who sees. It's God who goes and gets. It's God who lives in the Phillips, you and I, to go and invite and just say, hey, come and see. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to try to convince you. Just, you know, come check it out. It takes the pressure off. Oh, gee, you know, if they ask a question, and I don't know the scripture good enough. Oh, what am I going to say? Hey, just come and see. So Jesus has this, is given all this information to Nathanael. Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." And he goes on to tell him that he'll see angels ascending and descending upon him. You know, listen. Nathanael got up, followed Philip, and met Jesus. Then Philip was out of the equation. Will you just believe that God might show up and do something in their life? But they will never have that opportunity unless you and I ask, invite, say something, live something. Come and see. He comes, and Jesus does a miracle. He does this whole, "I saw you when Philip came and got you under the..." Wait a minute, you can't see that from here because it's down around the, you know, and over there. There's no way you could... you're God. What, you don't think God can show up in this room and do that for somebody? We don't believe then. And we don't invite because we don't believe. Listen, a lot of you have been hard cases that somebody prayed for. And Jesus revealed himself to you somewhere. There's a whole lot of people who never thought you'd even go to church or you'd ever get saved. So we get ourselves, we're answering for people, so we don't ask them. And we don't believe God that he can show up and he'd want to do this. Hey, you know the old saying? If there's anything worth doing, it's worth doing well. Listen, if you're going to be a Christian, then let's do it. If you're going to believe in the good news, then let's live it. Let's tell it. Let's speak it. Talk about God. Talk about church. Hey, I understand that, you know, you got to build relationship with somebody sometimes and those kind of things. I totally understand that. I'm big on the whole relational evangelism. I'm big on it. That's just, you know, that's part of who I am or who I've become. It's not that I haven't shared the gospel cold turkey with somebody I've met for the first time, but I'm big on the relational thing. I'm big on the conversation. I'm big on, you know, planting some seeds and going back and planting more seeds and just, you know, hey, I get that. I'm not telling you you got to run out of here and all of a sudden you're all standing on a street corner. That is not what I'm telling you. You don't have to stand on a street corner. You have neighbors. You have coworkers. You got people around you. You got people in this community who know you, or the community you live in, the surrounding area. We've got to talk God up because he's worthy of it. And we can't get so wrapped up in our life that we're just walking around consuming our problems like this and say, "Oh, yeah, okay, all right." And you're just all wrapped up in your stuff. And people are walking by you left and right. How will they know unless somebody tells them? Listen, I understand. I do. I understand this. I understand that there are places in the world where people spend their whole life, you know, and or decades, and there's no convert. Or they go and they spend their life and there's just a minimal number of converts. And I know that there's places in the world like, I understand all of that. But this church has been around for how long? Somebody tell me. New Life. And I don't mean just at this location. I mean New Life Assembly of God. How long? Pardon me? 1934. Okay, 1934. Okay. Now, Oh, since 1930, how many of you were born in 1934 or before that? Helen and Clarence. Okay. So there's been a lot of people who've been in the church who have gone home to be with Jesus and many who have moved away. We understand that. Hey, we understand that. But after 77 years-ish, 76, 77 of being in this area, we've cast the net, and this is it. Or maybe we haven't cast the net. And I know that people come and go and they've moved. I understand that. Listen, I'm not. This is not a guilt condemnation thing on us. I mean, I get it. But can we grab hold of something here that God has called us to be and to be a part of? I can't find anywhere in the Gospels where they marched in with big banners and they were handing out flyers. Jesus is going to the Mount. He's going to do the Sermon on the Mount. And here's a bunch of points. And they're handing them all. How do you think the thousands went to see him? Right? They used Facebook. They Googled Jesus. No, they told people. They invited people. They talked him up because he was worthy. Some went because they knew him. Some went because they heard him before. Some went out of curiosity. Some went because they were dragged there. Don't kid yourself. Some of them were dragged there. Don't kid yourself. Come on. You think they all just went, oh, we're floating over to see Jesus. Listen, there's people who went who were skeptical. There are people who got dragged there who didn't want to go. They had kids. Right? Listen, that hasn't changed. When they showed up, Jesus did something. He spoke to them. He did things beyond what people could just see. I trust when we get together in this room that God speaks to people's hearts and says things to them that none of us ever hear. He does things that we never see. He loves people. How long have you been a part of New Life? How long have you lived in this area? I'm not sure what your excuses are or challenges are. I only know mine. I know mine. I'm acquainted with mine. Now, I need to do something about it. How about you?
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.